Verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that, being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that has wrought us for the same self thing is God, who also has given us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we live by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor that, whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body according to that he has done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest to God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. For we commend not ourselves again to you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that you may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God, or whether it be we be sober, it is for your cause. For the love of Christ constrains us, because we thus judge, that if one died for all, then we're all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live to themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth now we know no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Excuse me. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in God, Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he has made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We do need some work in this tonight, don't we? If you saw I was struggling reading this, it was because I was trying to follow King James when I know it's not correct. It struggles sometimes to read those words when I know the other words are in my mind to come out. So it's a real struggle here on this 16th century English. And if there's probably one thing I've heard more complain about King James than any other translation, is the language used. It's so hard to understand the words the way they write them. And if you go to the language and search this out with the Spirit, you'll find out it's a much easier way to see it. Make much better sense. Okay? So tonight, we just finished up in chapter 4 last week, and the last verse of it in 18, it says, while we look not at things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, because the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal or ageless, correct? Now, we got that, and then it said the next word in chapter 5, it starts out, the Greek word is gar, and it means because. So because we know that if we're talking about these eternal versus temporal things, right? And he says, now we know that our earthly house of this tabernacle, or this, the word tabernacle here in the language literally says temporary residence. This temporary residence we have, this thing we call a body, correct? If it were were dissolved or demolished, literally the language says, if it were demolished, we possess the structure or architecture of God, a house not made with hands, ageless in the heavens, ageless in the spirit realm. So what's he saying? What do you got to worry about? If you realize that the temporal thing we're living in doesn't make any difference, it's going to pass away. It's temporal. But the eternal things is what we're looking for, like he said in verse 18 of chapter 4, right? Now we know these things. Now we cannot be concerned with, am I going to die today? I got news for everybody on the face of the earth. You're going to die. Hello? Is that a revelation? It shouldn't be. Does anybody know anybody that's been living since the beginning of time? I don't know anybody. Hebrews 9:27 says we're appointed to man to die, once to die, okay? We're all going to die. That's the way the system works. God set it up. The old die and the young comes up to take its place. That's the cycle of life. So he said, we don't have to worry about this architecture. If this natural one is destroyed or demolished, we have or possess the structure, architecture of God, right? Which is eternal. And what would you think that architecture is, or that structure? It's the Spirit of God that He placed within us, right? There's where we dwell, in Him. Verse 2, because in this we what? Or murmur. A lot of people murmur, don't they? Earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven, or the eternal house, right? The eternal residence or dwelling place. So people that live in this earthly one, what do? They whine and cry and murmur, right? That's a normal thing we do. He's telling you, that's what everybody does. They all murmur and complain. Should we be doing that? Should we be murmuring and complaining about our situation? I could tell you about another situation. A good friend of mine here on the west side. He had a four-way bypass, I think it was this spring. 41 years old. And he couldn't figure out why he didn't feel real good. He just couldn't get his energy back up. And so we got something to complain about. He's 41 years old. He has a four-way bypass. Everything went fine. He said everything's fine, but he just couldn't get his energy back up. He went to the hospital first week. And guess what he found out? They've been telling him he had a little touch of pneumonia for all about the last 8 or 10 months. You know what he's got now? 5 brands of cancer. He's got lung, liver, kidney, stomach, and adrenal glands. All. He probably won't make it through the week because no one treated him because they didn't even know he had it. What we got to complain about? There's a 41-year-old man eating up with cancer and because somebody didn't do their job. He's been in the hospital all this time. They didn't find nothing. Nothing wrong with him. I can't see where I got anything to complain about. Do you? It was. He's in intensive care right now, ready to die any day. They don't think he'd make it through the week, probably. Browning. Dave Browning worked at school down here. Janitor. Ron and Judy is his mom and dad. Okay. Verse 3. If indeed we're clothed upon, we shall not be found naked. What's he talking about? If we are indeed clothed upon from the heavenly side, what's he saying? We're clothed in the Spirit. Will we ever have to worry about being found naked? Never being covered. See, we're always going to be covered, aren't we? Because of that Spirit that God put in us. See, that takes away all the doubt. What reason have you got to doubt God if you're clothed on by the Spirit? He said, if your earthly house is done away, it's demolished, you've got a heavenly house. You've got a heavenly residence. So why should we be concerned so much about the natural? So, can someone answer that one for me? It hurts like a dickens because your mind tells you things, but that's not the problem, is it? That's not the issue. The issue is we possess a heavenly residence, don't we? Because God placed it within us. Okay? Verse 4, because we, being in this tabernacle, now that word says, it says, for we are, we that are in this tabernacle, literally it says, because we, being in this tabernacle or this temporary residence do groan or murmur. So we're in here, we do moan and groan, murmur, being burdened, not for that we desire to be unclothed, but that means leave our natural house. He's saying, I don't desire to die. We don't desire to die and get out of here, but clothed upon in order that mortality or the ability to die be swallowed up by life. See, if I'm clothed upon by the natural, that part of it is liable to die. Hello? Destined to die, isn't it? The body is destined to die. It has no options. Is there anything we can do to preserve this body forever? It's a temporal thing. So he said, we don't desire to die in what he's saying here in verse 4, but we want to be swallowed up of life. That doesn't mean destroyed. It means swallowed up and consumed to become part of us. Okay? Now, he that not wrought us, but fashioned us for himself, it should say, is God. Now, he fashioned us for himself. Not us for the self same thing. That's a lot of King James language. Literally should say, now he that fashioned us for himself is God, who also has given to us the what? The pledge or down payment of the Spirit. He gave us the down payment or pledge of the Spirit, and the word earnest literally isn't in the language. Okay? So guess what? If he gave a down payment, what's the odds he's coming back to take full control of it? See? It's an absolute thing. He didn't waste anything. He made a pledge. He put himself within us to guarantee his full return to us, the full reconciliation. Verse 6, therefore we are always confident. Hello. Did anybody read that verse, that part of that verse? Did anybody take that for serious? Did anybody get that inside of them? He said, therefore we are always not confident. We're always doubting. What did he say? We are always confident. Now I'm going to tell you, if you walk around in confidence, you're going to be called arrogant, aren't you? Yeah, but it's still, therefore, always confident. Even if you took them out, it doesn't change the context, does it? That's why I didn't remove them. If these added words do not change the context and they flow with it, that's fine. But if it changes it, I remove them. Okay? Therefore, always confident, knowing that while we are comfortable, when it says whilst we're at home in this in the body, or this body, we are absent from the Lord. As long as I'm comfortable where I'm at, guess what I am? You're wrapped up in self instead of God. Now, you know, Paul said we're aliens and sojourners in the land. If you feel like you don't belong in this life, you know what that tells me? God's got something for you, hasn't he? He's got a special call in your life for some reason. Okay? But when you feel comfortable and you see all these people and most of the people in life are very comfortable to go along status quo with the flow of whatever the world gives them. True? That's people that aren't called to go where everybody else is called. Okay? There's some of them called first fruit that has a special call in their lives, and they can't live in that mundane world out there. It won't do it for you. I think it's wonderful not to be in that mundane world. I like the excitement of living, not knowing what God's going to do next. I like that. I like not being in control of everything. I like him doing it. So I never know what to expect. I like the thrill of not knowing what's going to happen tomorrow. It'll be good because he planned it. So in verse 7, it goes on. And you know, that's a verse that's been misquoted an awful lot. It says, while we're at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord. You know, they misquote it, and I'm not going to get in and try to talk about some of the contradictions that they throw out and regurgitate, but just let you know it is mistranslated many times. And I'll read it again. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that while we're comfortable in this body, we are absent from the Lord. Because we what? Literally, we live. We live through faith, not through sight. That's what it should say. We live through faith, not walk, live. We live through faith, not through sight. Habakkuk 2:4 says, the just shall live by his faith, not your faith, not my faith. I don't have anything that's worth owning in the department of faith. What I have is a gift of God. It's his faith that he has given to me. Okay? I won't say what you've got in your repertoire of faith. All I know, my faith is his. My faith means nothing unless it's his. What he gives me, then it's mine. But it's still his. Look at verse 8. We are confident, or literally bold, and willing rather to be absent from what? The body of flesh, okay, the earthly body, and to be present with the Lord. He said, we'd rather be absent from this body and be present with the Lord. Therefore, we labor, whether present or absent, that we be accepted of him. Cross out that may, because that's another doubt word, isn't it? So you should start being able to see those doubt words that King James has put in there. We might, or maybe, or may, or that's a doubt word that's not even in the language to start with. It's added in. Although it's not italicized, it's still an added word. Okay, verse 10. Because we must all appear before the what? It's not judgment seat. I mean, most of the churches have built doctrine around this word, judgment seat. The Baptists call it the Bema seat of judgment, because the word here is Bema. It's a Greek word, Bema. So they took a Greek word and made it into some noun, which it's not supposed to be. They made it into their own understanding. It's called the Bema judgment seat. Well, excuse me, Bema seat literally means the throne. We're all going to appear before the throne of Christ. That everyone, and there's another one of them doubt words there, because he said, God is not mocked, man will what? So if we appear before the throne of Christ, that every man not may receive, but that every man receive the things through his body. The word done is added, isn't it? It's an added word. Has nothing to do with here. So he may receive the things done in his body, done through his body, according to that he has done, whether good or bad, knowing therefore the terror, and the word terror is not good, it's the reverence or the respect of the Lord, we persuade humanity, but we are made visible to God. So we persuade men, or humanity, but we are made visible to God, and I trust also are made visible in your consciences. So what's he saying? To God, we're not hidden, are we? To humanity, what do they see when they see us? Beg your pardon? They just see people. They don't see anything of God at all. That's why people had no respect for Jesus. They never saw him as a son of God. They saw him as just a man walking, a nice guy who did some good things. Okay? Is it any different today? Sons of God walking on the earth today, does anybody recognize who they are? No, they just see human beings. See? Because they don't have ears to hear and eyes to see. There's nothing we can do about it. We can't create those. Those are created by God. So he's saying, we'll be made visible to God. Now, in this life, as we do the things we're supposed to do, as we live our life and we live and do the things that we know are right to do in our heart, he said, we're visible to God, okay? And he said, I trust we're made visible in your conscience too. Do you know how many people know what you're doing? How many people you think really know what we're doing? Very few, if any. Very few. Very few. But it doesn't make any difference, because he said we are made apparent or visible to God, so God knows what we're doing, correct? If he is leading us and guiding us and directing our minds, then he knows exactly what we're doing. We're not hiding anything from him, and we know that. That's what Paul's telling us. We know that God knows everything about us, everything we do, right? And that's the important thing. What people think is not important. If you can come to the understanding that what other people think about you is not important, everybody wants to be accepted. Everybody wants to be loved, to be liked. Nobody wants to be an outcast. But you know what? That's not my major, my priority. I like to have people be sane enough and civil enough to talk to me. But you know, that's still not a priority. The main thing is this. He said, I'd rather have obedience than sacrifice. Sure. We walk by faith, his faith, not by sight. And it doesn't make any difference what people say to us or do to us. I'm still walking by the faith that he's placed within me. And this book does say he has placed a measure of faith in all humanity. They say, everybody got some, whatever they need, for whenever he wants it there. Okay, verse 12. Because we not commend, but we exhibit not ourselves again to you. He said, we're not coming out here trying to prove ourselves to you, but give you not occasion, but give you what? An opportunity. We're giving you an opportunity to boast what? Concerning us. In order that you possess the answer or something to say to them which boast in appearance and not in heart or spirit. How can they agree? Amos 3 and 3 and 6. Mm-hmm. Well, I think what he's saying, he says, we exhibit not ourselves to you, again to you, but give you an occasion. We're not trying to say, hey, look, we're good guys or anything, but we're giving you an occasion to boast concerning us in order that you possess something to say to them which glory or boast in appearance and not in the spirit. So he said, what you're going to do is you're going to look at our lives as men and women of God. Our lives are for someone else to see so they can say, hey, look, you're glorying about what you've done. You've put on a suit and went to church, but I can see somebody over here that's fed somebody. I can see somebody that's helped somebody in need, that's done some other labors, you know. So that's what is more important. It's the Christ versus the appearance of the flesh. And that's why he said, they gloried in appearance and not in the heart or the spirit. Because if we be beside ourselves, the word beside ourselves is literally insane. If we be insane, what's it for? It's for God. Not to God, it's for God. Or if we be what? Of a sound mind, it's for you. Because the love of Christ does what? It says constrains us in the King James, but literally it holds us together. The love of God constrains us by King James language, but the Greek language says the love of God holds us together. What is the whole mission of God? To bring us to oneness with Him. So when it says it doesn't constrain us, but it holds us together. What holds the universe together? The love of God. True? It's the love of God that holds everything together. Without the love of God, this world would disintegrate. I believe that. It would just disintegrate. It would violate every law of everything the universe had if God's love wasn't real. Okay? But anyway, the love of God holds us, love of Christ holds us together. Thus we judge, or thus we determined that if one died, because the love of God holds us together, he said, for this reason we judged or determined that if one died for all, then all were dead. That make sense? If Jesus died for the whole universe, every person in it, then he's saying, then we've determined something here. Everybody's dead. Hello? We were all dead, and the Bible does say that we were dead, we were born dead in our sins and trespasses, doesn't it? We were all born that way. Everyone. All the way. Okay? Verse 15, we go on to say, and he died for all. He said, all were dead, and he died for all. The word that is added. You can take that one out. He died for all in order that they which live should not from henceforth live to themselves, but to him which died for them and rose again. So guess what my life goal is? It's not to collect things. It's not to make money. It's not to build a big house. It's not to possess everything, but only do one thing. What? It's to live in the knowledge of God, to live in Christ and in His resurrection. The only way we can live is in His resurrection. But my whole goal in life and your goal in life should be to live in Christ. Should it not? That's the purpose. Now, once you get there, He's got something for you to do. And don't anybody ask me what you're supposed to do, because I'm not the one with that answer. I'm not the boss, am I? You know how you find out what you're supposed to do? Talk to the boss. God's the boss. He'll tell you what you're supposed to do. When He gets you to the place of maturity where you can deal with what He's got to deal with you, He'll tell you what you got to do. Believe me. He won't leave you behind. Didn't take you out in the desert just to kill you. Well, maybe He did, and then He wanted to resurrect you. But anyway, He's not going to leave you out there. Okay? Verse 16. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no one after the flesh. Who would no one encompass? We don't know anybody in humanity after. We should know nobody after the flesh. No matter if they're living in the flesh, we should not know them there, should we? Because their identity is lost and they're living in this Adamic, egotistic world. Should we look at them that way? I mean, we can't help seeing where they're at. But do we judge them in anything? We should not judge them in anything. Leave them alone. There's someone who'll take care of that. We know no man after the flesh, but though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now we know Him no longer as in the flesh. He said, even Jesus, the Christ, we don't even know Him after the flesh no more. And see, what does that do to the people that believe that Jesus is going to come splitting the eastern sky? Aren't they looking for a body of flesh to come, a one man to come through the sky? Aren't that what they're looking for? That's what they say it does. 80-90% of Christian, whatever they are out here, all this Christianity stuff, all that they're teaching is that Jesus is going to come back someday. He came back 50 days after He resurrected. He went away and He come back, rather, He went away after 50 days and He come back on the day of Pentecost. Guess what? He came back in a body of flesh, a whole bunch of bodies, didn't He? And He's been here all along anyway. They just can't see it. They're caught up in the natural about this. They're looking for a natural man, Jesus, 32 years old, long, flowing, brown hair, beautiful blue eyes, thin, very good, look like he just walked off out of Vogue magazine. That's what they're seeing in their minds. And something tells me by reading this book, that's not true. Someone's deceived into believing all this stuff. It's not truth. He's not coming back in that one body like He was before. It's a many-membered body according to this book. Verse 17, therefore, if any be in Christ, they are a new what? It's not creature, it's creation. It's the Greek word katisis. It means creation. They're a new creation. Old things are what? Passing away. It doesn't mean zap, you're finished. It's passing away. Just like everything else in our life, it's a metamorphosis. We're changing like the caterpillar to the butterfly, correct? And if anybody tries to eliminate the struggles of this change, all you're doing is committing suicide spiritually. You have to go through the struggles to get there. Just like if you rip open the cocoon before the butterfly works his way out, he will never get the blood forced into his wings, and you'll destine him to the lowly life of crawling around till he's consumed or just dies. He'll never be able to go and reproduce and do what he's supposed to do because his wings don't work. So you got to let people go through their struggles so they can grow from them and come to maturity. Okay? But anyway, they're passing away. Behold, all things are becoming new. Okay? All things are becoming. They haven't become yet, have they? Because I can look around and see a whole bunch of things that's not there yet. And people can say, I'm going to name it and claim it and say it's already done deal. Well, God has a done deal, but we haven't walked it out yet. We're still walking, aren't we? Still a process. Still part of that metamorphosis. Verse 18, and all, and the word things shouldn't even be there, all is from God. That should settle a whole bunch of questions in a whole bunch of people's minds if they hear what I just said. All is from God. Wouldn't you think so? If everything's from God, then what are you blaming somebody for? It came from God, it's for God. He said, all things is from God, who has reconciled us to himself. Do you notice that word reconciled? What tense is it? It's a past tense word. That means it's already taken care of, isn't it? He reconciled us through who? To himself, through Jesus Christ. When Jesus died on that cross and was resurrected, we have been reconciled from that moment on, whether we believe it or not. Just because I don't believe it, does it make this book not true? What God did is truth, whether we believe it or not. Romans 3:4 says, make God true and all men liars. Now, I don't mean just because you're a man, you're a liar. He means that if you don't agree with what God says, you're lying. You've got to match up with your Creator so you won't be a liar. And he has given to us the what? Well, there's several things here for this word ministry. The ministry of reconciliation. Now, literally what it says is this. It's the service of reconciliation. Okay? He's given us the job to do the service of reconciling. Okay? God has already taken care of his part of it. Now we got to take care of our part. That's why Jesus said, when everybody was so blown away by the miracles he was doing, he said, what are you doing worrying about what I've done? You're going to do greater works than I've done. Hello? Jesus only came to get the 10%. We got to get the other 90. Now, this word reconciliation, the word for reconciliation here can mean several things. It can mean reconciliation. But it can also mean atonement. It can also mean restoration. And all these words are pointing back to the Old Testament to a thing called Jubilee. When everything goes back to its rightful owner, everything goes back to where it belongs. And wouldn't that be reconciliation? And he said, to wit, or a witness that God was in Christ, it's a witness that God was in Christ reconciling the what? The whole world to himself. This is one of the most powerful passages of Scripture right here, and nobody understands it. They read it and don't understand it. Listen to what it says. To witness, this is a witness, that God was in Christ reconciling the world, not the church, not a few select people that say they're a Baptist or a Methodist or a Catholic or a Pentecost or anything else. He said, I'm reconciling the cosmos, the whole world, to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them. Hello. He said when Jesus was reconciling the world back to God through himself, that he did not impute or calculate or account their trespasses to them any longer. Lord, that ought to make you shout. It ought to make you so happy that God is not counting what you did wrong. because of what his son did. I'm not accountable for those things anymore. It's all under the blood. Don't have to worry about it. It's already been resurrected. It's already been taken care of. But he said, I love that verse 19. The witness is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed or placed in us the what? The Logos, the word of reconciliation. He didn't commit it to us. He placed it in us. You remember what the new covenant says? I'm going to write in your heart. I'm going to write it in your heart, he said in Jeremiah 31, 32. He said it in Hebrews 8, verse 9, 10, 11. I'm going to write in your heart. I'm going to place it within you. Hello? You see what he said there? He said he has placed in us the word of reconciliation. Well, if God places the word of reconciliation in somebody, how in God's name could you ever not speak the reconciliation? Hello? You can't do it unless you're in ignorance. But once God has resurrected this word in you that he placed within you, there's no shutting it off. Just like Ezekiel said, it's like fire in my bones. I got to speak it. Can't stop it. So, you know, they can call me a fanatic all they want to, but I still won't change my mind and I ain't going to change the subject. The subject is Christ, no matter what they say. Beautiful passage. If you could just get the people to look at that right there, that one verse answers all this confusion, all this religious confusion. Is there anything in this verse that says you have to ask God to forgive you? Is there, Bob? Why can't they believe that? They say they believe every word in this book. Why can't they just believe that one? 31 through 33, that's the new covenant when it was first spoken of in Hebrews 8, verse 9 through 13. In Hebrews, that's where it comes in effect in the Hebrews, the new covenant. Okay? Verse 20. Therefore, we are what? Well, you know another word for ambassadors here? It's in the language, preachers. We are preachers for Christ. I know it sounds real religious to say I'm an ambassador for Christ. I've had a few of them stick their cards in my face and said I'm an ambassador for Christ and then want to punch me in the nose because he didn't like what I was saying. You know, that doesn't strike me as being an ambassador for Christ, does it? Whole bunch of them say those words because they sound religious. But it says, therefore, we are preachers for Christ as though God did call us or call you through us. Okay? We ask, the word pray there is ask. King James again, they twisted that into pray, make it sound religious. We ask in Christ's behalf, be ye reconciled to God. That don't sound anything like King James said it, did it? That's what the language says. We ask in Christ's behalf, be ye reconciled to God. So Paul didn't say, either be reconciled or go to hell, did he? He said, we're asking you to be reconciled back to God. That's all he's trying to get you to do. Remember that you're a son of God. You're not a son of Adam. You're a son of God. Verse 21. Because he has made him sin, not to be, the to be isn't there. He made him sin instead of us. He looked at him as the sin that was being dealt with rather than looking at us as sin. Who knew no sin, in order that we, and cross out that word might there because that's another one of them doubt words, in order that we be made the righteousness of God in him. See, take the doubt out of it, what you got to complain about? I mean, how can you think you're failing if you take the doubt words out of here, which are added words anyway? All those words are added words. If you listen to the Spirit of God speak, you can't have, how could your outlook be bad? I mean, I can't fail. You can't fail. Do you realize how important that is, the way you see this thing? If I see myself a failure, what am I going to do? I'm going to murmur and complain and fall down. But when I see that I cannot possibly fail, because he said here in verse 21, because he made him sin instead of us, who knew no sin, in order that we be made the righteousness of God in him in Christ. Hello? So what are we? We're the righteousness of God in Christ. Can we not be there? We can think in our head we're not there, but that doesn't mean God doesn't see us the way he said we are. He reconciled the whole world, not a piece of it. You know that song they used to sing years ago? He has the whole world in his hand. See, the secular world can sing it, but the church can't. The church sees God so minute, so microcosmic, that he can only get a few of them. And by their counting and their numbers, the devil's winning the battle. Because he's got about 90% of them or better. And God's only going to get a couple of them. Bless his little pea-picking heart, he can only get a few. And that's the way they look at him. Yeah, God's still trying real hard, trying to get some of us saved. It's sickening. I mean, it's so absurd to think that something, a force, a power, so powerful that he could open his mouth and say, let there be, and this was all created. And then we think that we can say no to him, that we can do anything outside of his will. I think it's totally absurd. I get excited when I do this. Anybody got any questions? Because I'm done. Yeah, I got here. I'm done.
Oh, well, Peter, you keep referring to